Parade, and this is Geek Nights. It's video game night, and we'll be talking about the upcoming releases for the Nintendo DS and some old-school NES and SNES games we recently revisited.
Let's do this. So
attention.
It's election day.
I voted. Who'd you vote for?
I didn't vote for any people because I didn't like any of the people on the ballot.
I didn't know or like any of the people on the ballot, but there were three people in the Right to Life party with this cute little, you know, baby in a womb. So I voted for their competitors.
And I voted for, there's the bill on putting money into trains.
I voted for trains because I ride one every day.
And there's that bill on the budget that you didn't understand.
I didn't understand it at all.
It's actually kind of good.
Oh, well. I'm sure it'll get yes because...
So it was scary, though. I walked into the VFW, the big building in Beacon, to vote.
Yep.
And I walk into the lobby and there's no one there, no signs, nothing.
You had to go in the side. You went in the front door?
I went in the front door, so I'm standing there.
You're supposed to go in the side door.
There's no sign on the outside or anything.
There was a sign on the outside and the side door.
Well, there isn't now. There was no one there anyway, but I'll get to that. So I'm standing in the lobby. There's no one there, no signs, nothing. So I'm looking around. I try some doors, and they're all locked. And then I see a stair. So I go down the stairs. There's a light on.
Yep.
There's a big, like, room.
It's a bingo hall.
And in that room, there are a few people, like two people at each desk. And there's, like, one person voting. And apparently... In our ward, our district, 300 people voted total.
Awesome.
I was like the 301st person.
Awesome.
There are like thousands of people in our ward.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
At least 1,000 people.
That's about right.
Yeah, about a third, a little under a third.
You know, in a presidential election, you usually get about half.
Yeah.
So in a local do-nothing election, a third
where there's
is pretty
nothing
good.
Up at all.
Although the train thing is kind of important.
I'm not too worried about its passing. Yeah.
The only thing on the ballot was this. There was this Independence Party, which I went to their website, which is really crappy. And they said they're the third biggest party in New York State. And based only on what they say on their site, I think I like them better than the other ones. But who can trust that?
Yeah, I mean, the Republicans say that they're the party of balanced budgets.
And small governments.
Yeah, the Democrats say they're the party. Well, it doesn't matter. They all lie. They all lie.
Yeah, but if I find more out about this party and they're actually good, I might go for them.
Because
they don't have the wackiness of libertarians, but they have some of the good parts of them.
Yeah.
And they seem to actually, you know, third biggest party in New York State. Not so bad. Not too bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't think they were lying about that part. At least the ballot definitely
well, they're on the ballot,
their claims.
So that's one small step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not too bad. So, you know, remember that time the newspaper called me trying to sell a subscription?
Yeah, and then we told them that we had the internet and we really didn't need dead tree paper.
Apparently that's actually a lot more common than we think. Because, you know, newspapers now realize that no one under the age of, I don't know,
53,
90, 100 reads the freaking newspaper, and, you know, in 20 years, they're probably going to be out of business.
Yeah,
so,
the last time I read a paper is because I got a free one from somewhere.
All right, so the newspapers aren't dumb, apparently, and they know this. So their latest plan to get kids to get hooked on the newspaper, they're going to throw some manga in the comic section.
Yeah, the Boston Globe had a thing about it, but the Boston Globe doesn't seem to know what manga is, and they wrote probably the most uninformative article I've ever read in my life.
Well, is it from the AP, or is it something that they wrote?
It's hard to tell. They don't mention the AP wire.
All right, because the AP carried the story, and the Anime News Network, who knows what's up, picked it up.
All right, because I was curious what they meant by manga. Is it actual manga?
All right, so here's the story. They took two Tokyopop mangas. And what they syndicated them, and the person syndicating them, or the company, is UPS, UPI, whatever you want to call them.
Uh-huh.
They're the ones who put all Garfield and Doonesbury in the newspaper.
Hmm.
And any newspaper that, you know, subscribes to that syndicate can subscribe to these manga.
Uh-huh.
And the thing about this is like, all right, that's not so bad. You know, maybe, you know, it'll get real popular and they'll sell a bunch of papers because of it. And then they'll fill a whole section of the newspaper with like two pages of manga, or they'll put like a manga insert in there.
Now, do they realize just how much manga? Because I imagine that the manga they chose was based on some sort of industry research. But most popular manga are very girly and tend to involve things like BL, boys kissing boys.
It's funny you should mention this because, in fact, I know the only two mangas that have been syndicated.
And these two manga are?
The first, they're both from Tokyopop, And the first one is Van Von Hunter.
Van Von Hunter.
And the second one is Peach Fuzz.
That just reeks of masculinity.
In other words, they picked two completely crap manga.
I don't know. I actually haven't heard of either one, so they might be good. We just don't know about them.
They're Tokyo Pop manga that we've never heard of. There's a 99.9% chance they're complete crap.
Yeah, I'll give them a chance.
I'll give it a chance. I'll go look at now that I've seen the names of these, next time I go to the bookstore, I'll look at the first volume of each one to see what it's like. But I saw the pictures of the covers, and if you go to tokyopop.com, it looks like all those crap mangas that they print. It's really... I think the strategy here was Tokyo Pop was like, hey, we won't lose graphic novel sales if we give them something crap that isn't selling anyway.
And the newspapers probably said, hey, we want something that doesn't have boys kissing or girls kissing or sex or violence or anything.
And the third thing is that, hey, maybe we'll be able to sell this manga that isn't selling if people in the newspaper get hooked on it and then realize they can buy a whole bunch of it at once.
Makes sense. See, my issue isn't any of that. The only issue I really have is just that, in my eyes, this is very much a instance of too little, too late.
Definitely too little, too late. But I think that what's going to happen, if it doesn't happen soon, it'll happen in, I don't know, I guess a year or two from now at the most, is that someone's going to print a real giant Shonen Jump type thing on cheap, cheap paper in this country. Someone has to do it.
It's but a no freaking, one's done it yet.
They've done it regular Shonen Jump. The problem is it still has that U.S. stigma of slightly better than crap paper. Not, you know, it's only half the size of the real Shonen Jump, but it only comes out monthly.
Yeah.
People were talking like Marvel Comics should take, like, you know, two pages from every comic book they make every week and stick them all in a thing. And everyone would buy that thing because it would be like, you know, the price of one comic book. And then they would read two pages of every Marvel comic book and get hooked on, like, different ones from the two pages and such. You know, they're just talking around, you know, ideas and stuff. But I really think someone's going to do something like that, and they're going to rake it in, especially if they can get it into the supermarket.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, the Boston Globe keeps saying things like, oh, manga isn't mainstream, and, oh, this is just, we're doing it to get readers. But I think it's going to get mainstream. And we're going to see things like that.
It's not mainstream because it's not something that everyone knows about, but it's definitely mad popular and it's invading, you know, the bookstores. It's like right under mainstream.
A lot of the bookstores seem kind of miffed at this. Like they don't understand it. Like, there's a bookstore near us, the one we went to. They have a manga section with like old crap, like old volumes of stuff that no one reads anymore. And they don't update it. They don't get the newer ones in.
Well, the thing is that they understand what manga is because they read their bookstore trade magazines and such.
But they don't know.
But they don't know. You know, they're not experts. They don't know which one's good, which one's bad.
They should all hire one, like, 13-year-old girl to tell them what to buy.
You're not allowed to hire a 13-year-old girl. But, I mean, let's say we ran a bookstore, right? We'd know the manga section would be great. The sci-fi section might be great, right? But we wouldn't know what to do in, like, the new age section with all the fake crap in it. Well, I mean, we might just not have the section. But what about, like, the cooking section? We wouldn't know which cookbooks are better
than others.
You
know what? We'd ask someone.
Yeah, but you see, that's the thing is, you know, they have these giant bookstores. They're not as personal as, like, the tiny, tiny bookstore or the comic book shop. The comic book shop is, like, the most personal place you can get, you know? You know, you go to the checkout aisle at Borders, and they're just like, thank you, have a nice day. If you go to the checkout aisle at the comic shop, it's like, hey, what you reading there? Oh, what's that? I didn't know about that. Oh, it's great. Or, what's wrong with you reading that? Yeah, it's a guilty pleasure. Shut up.
Though also, I'm surprised there hasn't been as much backlash from parents yet, just from the fact that a lot of manga are very explicit, very counter to the values of white bread American society.
Yep, I think two reasons is number
parents don't read it, they have no idea.
Parents don't, well, that's one I didn't think of. One is it's still a little under the radar.
Think about it. The 14-year-old Susie comes home and says, Mommy, I got a new yaoi manga. I'm going to go read it. And
well,
Mommy
they're not
says,
selling the yaoi manga so much in the Borders.
But they get it at the cons.
They can get it at the cons. But at the cons, you know, they separate it enough. And the cons check for that. The con knows, you know. But they do have the Tokyo Pops, and I know some others have a little label on them telling you what the content is.
Yeah, no one looks at that. No one looks at the ESRB anyway. They're not going to look at some book.
I look at the ESRB, but I guess parents, they don't know.
It's beyond them because it's a little more complex than GPGRX.
But at least if the parents go to GameStop or a store that checks, like Toys R Us, then someone tells them. But if they go to Best Buy, no one tells them. They don't know there.
Yeah.
You know. But if they go to a GameStop or an EB or a Toys R Us, just because Toys R Us has a thing, but then they'll know. But they have labels on them, and any of them that are really seriously
bad,
they're
in the shrink wrap.
They're either in the shrink wrap or they're on like a separate thing, you know. Or they just don't even have those at the Borders, and you have to go elsewhere to get them. So those Windows fanboys are jumping up and down now.
Oh, they're going to make us eat our Lupper?
That was so bad.
Ha ha! I'm making a funny.
No, you're not. But there's a Linux worm. A Linux worm. Oh, no.
No.
But the reality is, of course, that it's not really a flaw in the Linux operating system.
Oh, it's a flaw in something on the Linux operating system.
Well, it's a flaw in something that could run on any operating system.
Yeah.
The thing is that there's some old vulnerabilities for some PHPs and some other web applications.
Yep, PHP CGI environment.
Yep, like Drupal, I think, has a flaw, and AWStats used to have a flaw, but it's been fixed since like February or June or something.
Yep.
And someone wrote a worm. Basically what it does is it brute forces websites. So they type in your URL and it brute for or their your domain, and it tries to do all these different URLs at your domain. And I've seen these things happen in my web blogs. And it's basically you'll see someone trying to visit like /awstats/a whole bunch of text that's random gibberish. /Drupal/a whole bunch of gibberish. And if you actually have the vulnerability, that gibberish will pretty much let them put stuff on your computer. So what they do is someone wrote a Linux executable and a BSD executable. And if you have these gaping holes in your web software on your web server and they brute force you and you happen to be unlucky, then they install these executables on your computer in /temp and then they get run.
Oh, so couldn't I just mount temp as non-executable?
You could, and that would pretty much prevent you right there, even if you had the vulnerabilities wide open.
Oh, great. I love Linux so much.
Yeah. I mean, basically, the story is that Linux really doesn't have a flaw in the kernel or anything. It's just that someone found an attack vector that exists in certain circumstances, and finally someone has tried to exploit this vector. And, you know, if someone was running a Windows web server with Apache or even not Apache, but just PHP, they could inject a Windows executable, you know?
Yeah.
But someone decided to put a Linux executable and go after, you know, LAMP servers. And I guess they must have gotten at least one person.
Yeah, Symantec is claiming that I think there are 3 sites that have reported an infection total.
How many did Blaster get back in the day?
All of them?
What about the Natchi?
Oh!
Yeah.
Yeah. See, because I have this problem at work. And a lot of companies seem to have this problem of they hear that there's no antivirus for Linux. And they freak out. And they demand one. So now Symantec makes one. You can buy, and a bunch of companies are making these little antivirus programs for Linux. And they don't do anything. They really don't. They search for, like, old, like, rootkits that used to run on, like, Red Hat 5 or, like, old vulnerabilities that haven't existed for 6 or 7 years. Most of them search for Windows viruses.
Hmm. Well, though they usually search email attachments.
That's the intended purpose. Like, ClamAV is intended to search emails.
Yep.
But a lot of people run it as antivirus because their corporation said you must have antivirus.
Well, what you do is you have like a Linux email server instead of Exchange, and
yep.
you make sure that no
Windows out all those,
you make sure that no Windows viruses go to the people using Outlook to read your email.
Yep. But a lot of companies demand that there should be antivirus on their Linux machines.
What do they do if someone uses a Mac?
I don't know.
What do they
do? No one uses a Mac in the business world. And the people who do know what they're doing. And usually you're in some sort of studio where they don't have to worry about some corporate nitwit yelling at them.
What do you do if someone's running, I don't know, AIX?
AIX isn't vulnerable to viruses.
What about OS2?
OS2 has antivirus.
How about HPUX?
HPUX, actually I did use it once. And one, I hate it. I hate it more than I hate anything.
All right.
Though that might have just been the specific server I was working on and its poorly configured nature as opposed to HPUX in general.
I'm pretty sure it's just a Unix.
Yeah, this specific HP UX machine I was working on was apparently it had an error on it. It had some sort of, like, one, X wouldn't start, and all these errors every time it booted. And it had been that way for 5 years. And the sysadmin didn't even know what they meant or how to fix them or anything. I actually lent him a book on Unix.
Great.
Yeah. But it just the thing is, people don't run HP UX or AIX on their desktop in a corporate environment. They run Windows. And if they run Linux, a lot of sysadmins who don't know better and a lot of companies don't know better seem to want to treat it as though it's still Windows.
But here's the thing, is that finally there's a worm, so maybe they could say something. But no, it's a worm that won't affect the desktop, because no one runs Apache and PHP on their desktop.
Yeah.
Unless they're a developer, and if they're a developer, you don't have to worry about anything.
There's some developers who don't know anything.
Then someone who hired them is very, very dumb.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, my thing of the day.
Oh.
It's old and it's cool.
Old.
Remember Pong?
You know, what's that?
Well, someone posted a bunch of scans of the original instruction book that came with Pong.
For when you bought the big arcade machine to put in your pizza parlor?
No, from when you bought the little home version with the two dials stuck on it.
Oh.
They plugged to the TV.
Yeah, but you couldn't even change the game.
Yep. And it was cool, but the one thing that was really cool about it is there's a huge warning in the instruction book from the FCC.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, I mean, this is before RCA. This is before cable. This is when you had those little RF, like, two-prong plugs that you screwed into the back of your TV.
You mean VHF and UHF?
Yeah, all that stuff. And remember the Ataris, you had a little box, you switch it between game.
You mean the RF switch?
Yeah. So, they warn you that if you plug Pong in, you have to make sure your antenna's disconnected. Otherwise, or you have to make sure that there's no wires hanging off of it and that it's not touching any metal. Because otherwise, you'll broadcast your Pong game to everyone in your neighborhood instead of what they're trying to watch on TV.
Yeah, I guess it goes on Channel 3. And the way VHF works is that what comes out of the Pong is what comes in your antenna.
Yep.
So you plug it into the same place the antenna goes. If the antenna is also plugged in, the Pong will send its antenna-like signal up the antenna, and it'll broadcast, and anyone tuned into Channel 3 might see some of your Pong.
Yeah.
If not all of it.
The other funny thing is how untechnical people were back then, at least in terms of this sort of thing. Because the instructions say it says the following. If your television has four screws on the back, do this. If your television has a slider on the back, do this. If your television has a short, round cable, do this.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even say the proper names of what any of these things are.
No, when I remember the NES had a similar thing, and it was like, if your TV has a red, white, and yellow hole in the back, do this.
Yep.
And you'll see every instruction book for like a VCR or DVD player now has pictures of all the different things that could be in the back of your stuff, and then pictures of all the different ways you can wire it into the back of the DVD player.
True.
It's nothing much different. It's just,
Yeah, I guess I don't notice it. I don't look at instruction books.
Yeah, now we know how to wire AV stuff.
Scarily, I know a lot of people who don't know how to wire AV stuff.
Those people are just dumb.
When I was in high school, I went to someone's house and we were hanging out, and they wanted to watch a DVD. And they couldn't. There's like, oh, the DVD player doesn't work. Wait a minute, Rim, you know all that stuff. Go fix our DVD player. So I walk over there, and it's just not plugged in. So I plug in the RCA cables, and then I plug them into the TV. And then, wow, yeah, he knows a lot about that stuff. And I just didn't even know what to say.
Really? That's something they should teach you in school. How to wire standard AV stuff.
The worst part is then I was like, look, you plug the yellow one into the yellow hole. And you plug the red one into the red hole. Now, any guesses as to what I do with the white one? But they stopped me. They didn't want to hear it. They're like, don't give me any of that technical stuff.
I guess we should start going around town with a business, charging money for setting up AV.
Yeah. We could probably make a decent buck. Take spyware off of people's computers while we're at it.
Yeah. I saw a thing today of, like, put the Geek Squad out of business. How to be your own Geek Squad using VNC. Yeah. Could happen. Oh, my thing of the day? Oh, so I saw this website today. It brought me way back. So
way
far
back?
Farther back than Pong. Well, maybe not as far back as Pong.
You weren't alive for Pong.
quiet you. It's called, the website, the links all said DOS Underground, but the website says DOS Headquarters.
Uh-huh.
This site looks like it's from 1995.
Wow, like, back when GeoCities barely ruled the day.
This is pre-GeoCities we're talking here. And, like, the front page is just white with text. But as soon as you go into the site, everything is, like, weird backgrounds and a bunch of different colors and ugly, wavy GIF files and all kinds
God.
Of stuff.
It looks like my old GeoCities site.
Yeah. But the thing about this site is, despite its old stylings, it's got a whole bunch of information about DOS.
Ooh.
Like advanced DOS commands, config.sys, it had a dual boot with Windows 95, had to modify like your command.com with a hex editor to make it do stuff and add commands.
Ooh.
It's pretty crazy. And it kind of makes me want to build like a DOS computer. Like, go get a Pentium 166 and a Voodoo and something and play some DOS games.
Run some FreeDOS?
FreeDOS is good. Maybe. I don't know. I've never actually tried it.
It's actually really good. I use it for a bunch of things.
Does it work as well as MS-DOS did back in the day?
It works better than MS-DOS.
Yeah? Will it work for, like, DOS games from back in the day perfectly?
Yeah, because I'm running a lot of those actually on FreeDOS in DOS-EMU.
Oh.
I've gotten all the Quest for Glories to work.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten, I got King's Quest 1 to work.
Mm-hmm.
I got, God, what else did I get to work? I got Phantasmagoria to work.
Oh, God.
And it remembers that horrible, godforsaken game.
Yeah, I heard of it.
Back when multimedia was the thing. You bought a multimedia PC?
I had a multimedia PC. It was a 486.
Oh.
100 megahertz.
I had a 2X CD-ROM.
I had a 4X CD-ROM. I was the first kid on the block with a 4X CD-ROM. And when my computer, when I got it, had 8 megabytes of RAM. I upgraded it to 16 for $40.
Oh, I didn't know about computers. And my family didn't know either. And we got a 486 SX2.
We have a 486 DX4.
Oh.
And we got a discount because we knew a guy at IBM. Because it's an IBM Aptiva. But I could install Doom 2 in like seconds.
God,
and
Doom
I had 780 megabytes of hard drive space. It was wicked.
Wow, you could have copied a whole CD to your hard disk.
No, I couldn't have because Windows took up all that space.
Yeah.
And I remember it wasn't enough space to fit all my games. But I would install games, delete games, install games, delete games.
Yep, I remember I used to rotate games in and out. When I beat a game, I'd uninstall.
But I never had to use a boot disk.
I had to use a boot disk to play some games.
Never. The worst game I had was Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, and it ran without a boot disk if you had 16 megabytes of RAM.
Man, I needed a boot disk to run SimCity 2000.
I was playing MechWarrior 2, right, with no boot disk at pretty good resolution and a high frame rate.
In fact,
with no 3D card.
Before I upgraded my RAM, in order to play Doom, I had to hold F5 when I booted so I wouldn't load any drivers. And I would type, "Hi, ma'am. Mouse. Doom 2.
I was playing Doom 2 in Windows 95 on this computer, and it wasn't as good as it is nowadays, but it worked.
I was running Windows 3.1.1.
And I could do it in 640 by 480
with
Redbook audio.
Graphics and sound.
Yeah.
A spectacle.
That lasted for about 2-3 years, and then it turned to poop.
Yeah, we seemed to leapfrog each other. Like, you had the badass computer, then I had the badass computer. Then you had the badass computer, then I had the badass computer. Right now, you have the badass computer.
My computer's not really badass
compared
anymore.
To mine.
Compared to yours, yeah.
The
compared
thing we're
in
recording
general,
this
not
on
so much.
Is a freaking Thunderbird gigahertz in, like, a 60-pound steel tower that has enough space for, like, 15 drives in it.
You'll be getting a new computer soon enough.
Yeah, because this one's starting to overheat.
It's been overheating for years.
Yeah, but it was overheating enough to where I finally fixed the problem. The computer was overheating a lot, and it would beep at me. It'd say, like, oh, the PC speaker would beep. It was overheating. So I went into the BIOS, and I raised the threshold for the beep.
Way to go.
So, the Nintendo DS is rocking the house now.
Yeah, absolutely rocking. I mean, when it came, I was like, I'll buy this. And if it turns out to be a Virtual Boy, I'll be the guy who's got the Virtual Boy.
And you know what? A Virtual Boy, it is not.
A Virtual Boy, it is so far from, I can't even imagine. All these great games came out, and there's more games in like a couple weeks. We're going to get the Mario Kart.
And they're already coming out so fast, I haven't played all of them.
And now, all of a sudden, I see this giant list of new games coming out with screenshots, and I haven't even, you know, heard of some of these games.
And yet, I want to play almost all of them.
It just couldn't be better. So, the first game on this list here is Super Princess Peach.
And I see a picture of Princess Peach.
She's hitting a Koopa with her umbrella.
It looks like some sort of puzzly, side-scrolly Mario-type game. Maybe it'll be like the Wario games.
It might be a little like the Wario games. I think it might be a little more puzzly because she'll use the umbrella to, like, you know, get to places and do things.
Yeah.
And it looks like there's some blocks to break and that kind of thing.
Animal Crossing, which I'm not that interested in, but it's going to be online with Nintendo Wi-Fi.
A lot of people are going to play the Animal Crossing, not me, but a lot of other people, and I think it's going to start doing crazy stuff.
I think it will. I think this is going to be the beginning of something big.
It's going to get a lot of people to buy some DSs, but they're not me.
Of course, the next one is also on the Wi-Fi.
The Mario Kart.
Oh, Mario Kart.
Mario Kart is going to... Oh, my God. I don't even know...
So some people have already released the list of characters that are playable in the Mario Kart.
Well, there's the 8 ones that are standard.
Yep, and then there's the unlockables.
The 8 secret characters.
Which, if we talk about them now, it'll be a spoiler.
That's fine.
We're spoiling.
The most secretest characters, Rob the Robot. Oh,
Rob
my God.
Rob the Robot. Rob the Robot.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe I'll be able to race as Rob the Robot. You know what? What if they could set it up so that if you play Rob the Robot, there's got to be something where they'll do the flashes, and if you actually have a Rob, it'll do something.
No.
Just hold the DS up to it?
No.
There's got to be an Easter egg.
There isn't.
There's got to be.
No. But, man, like, in the original Mario Kart, I was always Toad, Koopa Troopa, or Luigi. Then, when it came out for the GBA, which is the best one, I say, and I'm the master of that game, by the way.
He is. Normally, I dispute him, but he beats everyone.
I beat everyone at that game because I played it so much, the GBA Super Circuit Mario Kart. I'm always Luigi. I was going to be Luigi all the time now, too, but now, not only is there going to be Rob the Robot, but this Koopa Troopa and Dry Bones.
Oh, Dry Bones.
I kind of want to be Dry Bones.
Yeah.
I'll have to see how I'll have to go by how the cars drive. That's all I'll have to make my decision.
And of course, now two people can be the same guy. So,
Oh, yeah.
So if you won't have any of that, I'm Luigi, but I'm Luigi.
Dump, dump.
You can both be Luigi. It's okay. It's
all right. Mario. I just hope that this one, I played it a little bit, but not enough to get a definitive answer. The Super Circuit GBA one was a racing game first and an item game second. If you were the racing master, items couldn't affect you. Most of the GameCube one and the N64 one, you know, there's a lot more luck factor, because if you get the right items, you can win, even if you didn't drive as perfectly well.
Yeah.
I mean, terrible driving, you won't win, but you can have good enough driving, even though it might not be better than the other guy. If you get better items, you'll win. I want the GBA one, since it's online competitive play, I mean the DS one, to have whoever's the best racer wins. The items just make it fun, but they don't affect the outcome heavily.
Well, we'll have to see. I'll buy it regardless.
Oh, I'm totally buying it the day it comes out, no matter what. I'm totally buying Mario and Luigi Partners in Time the day it comes out, no matter what.
Yep.
I bought Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga for the GBA, and it was like Mario RPG times 1,000.
I haven't even played it yet.
Oh my God, you gotta play it.
I will.
And now they're coming out with the DS one that's even better. I played a little bit. Oh my God. If you haven't played Mario RPG or Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga, go get an SNES. Go get a
Or an emulator.
Or an whatever. Don't break the law. I don't want to go to jail. Get a GBA, play Mario and Luigi. These games are so great. I mean, well, they're Paper Mario also. All those games, you might think, oh, they're just other, they put the Mario label on to sell a game. No, it's really great. It's And I don't like RPGs so much anymore because I can't really handle the grinding. And they do have leveling up, but it's not this, it's so easy and it's not, there's no effort at all. It's just great.
Yep, I'm looking at this Mario basketball 3-on-3.
I like Mario.
The picture, I see Mario dribbling on a coin block, and coins are coming out, and Luigi's about to throw a shell at him.
Oh my God.
Oh, I want this game.
I remember NBA Jam was the last basketball game that I could really stomach. And
yeah.
They did release that NBA something-something for the GameCube that had Mario characters, but I never played it, and it was just mostly a basketball game that happened to have Mario characters
in
it.
Yep.
I hope this one, if it turns out to be more NBA Jam awesome, Mario Tennis-like, it could be good. Or it could also be crap.
I imagine it'll be good. If not, even if it's not that good, it's still a multiplayer wireless game for the DS.
Yep.
The wirelessness adds a lot to it, I found.
Definitely adds a lot.
Remember the days of sitting around huddled in a tiny group of four trying to play with those Game Boy cables?
Yeah, the original Game Boy cable wasn't so good. You need a little base thingy,
yep.
And you could play F1 racing. Then the GBA fixed it because you could combine four people with the only three cables. And
yep.
It was a little better, and we actually had the cables, but you still had to be real close to each other, and the cables fell out and didn't quite work.
Yep, and there was a lot of latency. The cables really weren't that good.
Yeah. But now the DS wireless works really well, except for like one time when it just crapped out for no reason.
Yeah, we were playing some game. I think it was Advance Wars against each other. And then suddenly we lost our connection.
Yeah.
Like a pulse must have gone through the room or something. Cause
who knows, but it works great 99% of the time. And I'm sure it'll work well enough.
Yep.
You know, of all these games, the one that I'm actually looking forward to the most is the new Super Mario Brothers.
Yep, it's the side-scrolling Mario Brothers.
It's the first 2D side-scrolling Mario Brothers game since, like, Mario World or Yoshi's Island or something.
Yeah.
They're incorporating all kinds of things, like, making Mario even bigger, and Mario and Luigi playing the same level at the same time together and racing to the end.
Oh, oh, oh.
And, collecting, items and using them whenever you want, and, it's going to be great.
Because there's been such a call for the old 2D games, because they're not so graphically intensive or super 3D, but they're still good games.
There was a recent clamor, is some guy realized that amidst all this Nintendo action, that we had Metroid Zero Mission and Metroid Fusion, but now there's no more 2D Metroid games on the books to come out soon. And everyone's like, hey, you forgot one. Make the other 2D Metroid game. At least release Super Metroid for the DS or the Revolution or something,
Well, I mean, even think, the most top-selling game ever in the history of gaming was Mario 3.
I don't know. I think The Sims or maybe something might have beat it out. I'm not sure.
It's at least the number one console game.
It's huge. It's huge. Mario 3 was huge.
Yep.
If you look at on GameFAQs, they recently did a survey of, the top 100 games, and there were, 7 or 8 Mario games in the top 20. It's like, come on. Mario is it.
Of course, with Metroid, I'm kind of looking forward to the new Metroid Hunters, Prime Hunters, because this is supposedly the one where they fixed all the issues people had with that demo.
Yeah, basically everyone, said the demo was poop.
Because it was.
And it was poop. And Nintendo actually recognized and everyone said it was poop. And supposedly they've done a lot to unpoop it. I don't know how much they could do while keeping it an FPS and whatever. But I think they might actually turn it into a game that I'll want to play. And I might, if I don't buy it brand new, I'll probably buy it used or soon after when it's not brand new anymore.
Yeah, I'm not going to buy it new because I got enough games to play.
Well, it doesn't come out for a long time. It'll be next year. We'll see. They're pacing the games really.
Yeah, but we got to forget. There's also the GameCube games coming out, like Twilight Princess.
That's the only GameCube game
Twilight Princess.
Out. That's it.
Twilight Princess.
That's it. There's no other GameCube games coming out. It's dead.
Twilight Princess.
Yeah, all right. But that doesn't matter. It's not. I don't think that it's even coming out near when Metroid Prime Hunters is coming out.
No, it probably isn't.
The thing is, they're pacing the DS games really well. It's like one comes out, you wait a month, you get another one. Comes out in a month, you get another one. Sometimes you get two.
Yep.
The thing is that if they really make great games, and, I might end up playing Mario Kart for months and months and months and not need another game. Or I might get Mario Kart, but then I'll get all these other games and I won't have enough time for Mario Kart and I won't be happy. I hope that's not what happens.
Yep. There's just so many games.
And there's a Wario game, and I've gotten every Wario game since Wario 2, 2, 3, and 4. Nah. And while Wario 2 is the best Wario and it decreased in quality since, I just, for some reason, I have to buy every Wario game.
Well, you don't have WarioWare.
All the normal side-scrolling 2D Wario games. The real Wario games.
It's-a-me, a Wario.
You know where Wario actually comes from is Nintendo had, different divisions of development. And the division that was working on the Game Boy Marios, they made Super Mario Land. Then they made Super Mario Land 2 6 Golden Coins, which Wario was the boss. And then they made Wario Land, which was Super Mario Land 3, because they were trying to compete against Miyamoto's team. So they were like, oh, we are the Wario team. You know, there's a little, you can read the whole story online in different places, but it's actually pretty interesting what goes on, what went on inside Nintendo in those days, and what happened to games like Kid Icarus and such.
Oh, Kid Icarus. I hated that game. I loved that game, but I hated that game.
I never got past, like, the first level.
It was one of the hardest games ever.
Silver Surfer.
Kid Icarus is kind of up there.
It's up there. It's no Silver Surfer.
Nah, because Kid Icarus, you didn't die right away. It took you a while to die, but you still died. Silver Surfer killed you immediately.
Not quite immediately.
Depends on your skill level. I never got more than about 20 seconds into that game.
You're just no good.
The one I'm really actually kind of looking forward to, the more I look at it, is the Resident Evil one.
You know, there's like a bunch of Resident Evil games, and they're all kind of the same.
Yeah, but the one thing I'm really thinking is that it has wireless multiplayer co-op mode.
And so you all fight zombies together?
And since it's not a split screen like on a GameCube, you can just actually have some multiplayer co-op, go into different rooms, you know, co-op. Something that I've missed ever since the days I used to co-op through Doom 2 with people.
There are definitely not enough games with co-op mode, and the DS definitely is ripe for many games of co-oping.
Yes.
And the more they make, the better. Especially a game like Resident Evil actually is perfect for co-op because, you know, one guy goes collecting an item, another guy gets the key, another guy kills the zombies, you know. It's pretty cool.
Yep.
Advanced Wars kind of has co-op, but not for the campaign.
No, we have to make our own co-op.
Yeah, it's not so great.
Because I always win.
No.
Tony Hawk, I'm not that interested in. But I not to diss those games, I just don't like those games.
I'm not liking those games so much either.
Bleach, I don't like Bleach, and I'm not that interested in the game.
Yeah, a lot of people are huge fans of that anime.
A lot of our friends are going to nut over this game.
It's just a fighting game, you know, it's a fighting anime. I don't like the fighting animes, I don't understand why people like them, but the fact that they're actually selling the anime games in this country now shows something.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty good.
Though the one thing that Bleach has got going for is that one of the characters looks exactly like a friend of ours. Like, exactly.
Really?
100%, one for one.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Anyone could find someone in an anime somewhere who looks like them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's Xenosaga, which isn't really up your alley, but I've been hurting for an old-school RPG-type game.
Well, if you want an old-school RPG-type game, they're putting out Final Fantasy III Remade for the DS.
Yes,
especially.
Yes.
The game that has never been released in America, they're going to make it 3D, they're going to add text to make the plot understandable.
Yep, they're making it look a lot like Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles looked.
That's cool, because at least then they'll keep some sort of separate identity from the PlayStation, Xbox, Final Fantasy, Final Fantasy 11.
Nobody should underestimate the difficulty of this game. This is an old school Final Fantasy. It's probably the second hardest after Final Fantasy 5.
I don't know if they're going to keep it as hard as they did, because remember when they released 1 and 2 for the PlayStation on that CD, they kind of made it easier? Yeah.
Yeah. I remember playing through that game with a hacked English, semi-English translated ROM on Nesticle.
It can't be any harder than Secret of Mana. I don't know how people play this game. I tried to play it the other day, and I just couldn't get anywhere. I just so tedious and difficult. Yeah. It's just, I don't know why people thought it was so...
I mean, if I can describe the game in one word, it's tedious.
I mean, I knew the game was supposed to be so great. Secret of Mana was huge. You got big billings and great reviews, and people loved it. But now, I don't know how anyone played it.
Because when I was that age, when it came out, I had infinite free time. I had nothing better to do than kill, like, a cute furry bunny 1,000 times until I get the 5 gold I need to buy the next thing to kill the next furry bunny.
Well, they're putting a Mana game on the DS, Children of Mana, which I know absolutely nothing about other than it looks a lot like Secret of Mana, only modern.
Yep.
And hopefully it's not as tedious.
Though I got to say, the game's a lot less tedious once you get a partner. Because I only beat the game because I played it with my brother
a long time ago. Well, once I got a partner in the partner always died.
That's because you need another person to sit there and play the partner for you.
I've never done it with a person, but we could try it.
It's a lot more fun that way. Without the AI, your partner will either stand at the back and watch you die or run in front of you and die while you watch.
Yeah, let's try it with a... Maybe I can beat it then if we're both playing and you have, I have a partner.
Yeah.
We'll try it.
Some Guilty Gear game, Monkey Ball, racing game.
Yeah. Eventually, people say there's going to be a Zelda game.
Yep. Metroid Dread, which is supposed to be 2D.
Oh, okay. So, I guess someone...
At some point. I mean, this is obviously way off.
Oh, so the Metroid Dread was sort of announced. All right, so there will be a 2D Metroid game.
Yep, we don't know when or what.
Despite people saying otherwise on forums today.
Oh, a new Castlevania. Great.
Yeah, because the one you've got, you know, is just asking for a sequel. Oh, they're going to bring more Phoenix Wright. Thank God. Oh, my God. They could bring so much Phoenix Wright that it would be coming out my ears, and I would buy every single one of them. Oh, my God.
I haven't even played it yet. I've only heard you talk about it.
When you play it, you're probably going to have to do a whole extra podcast just so you can go, oh, my God, it's so great. Oh, my God. Yeah, the DS is just so amazing. If they can do the same thing with the Revolution, I think Microsoft and Sony are going to be hurting.
Yeah.
Except because they're pretty much going to be stuck with, you know, the teen boy market, MTV watching kids, and everybody else is going to be Nintendo DS's and Revolutions.
Look at who plays NES games now, or not NES, but Nintendo games. Our generation, the people who are old enough to grow up on Nintendo, and young kids who are currently growing up on Nintendo, there's only that middle gap that grew up on the PS1, Final Fantasy VII on.
And you know what I realized today? It was such a small thing, but back in the day, there was the SNES, and they were working on the SNES CD.
Yep.
And they canceled it, and that's where the PlayStation came from. It was originally the SNES CD.
Yep.
And Square jumped from the SNES and the N64 to the PlayStation.
Yep,
with Final
partly
Fantasy
because they
VII.
Wanted a full-motion video, which is tough to do on a cartridge, and
right.
Some other reasons. They actually had kind of a falling out.
Right.
But...
A little falling out.
Yeah.
If Nintendo would have kept the CD, or if Square would have stuck with them, or if Square would have went to the Saturn, or it was such a tiny, tiny thing. When it happened, no one really made a big deal out of it. They were just like, Sony's making this thing called the PlayStation. Nintendo's coming out at the end of Nintendo 64 Dolphin, you know, whatever it was codenamed, Dolphin, I think it was.
Yep.
Ooh, right? And then they were like, yeah, the Saturn's out. It's got some cool games. Knights is cool, whatever, you know. And then the PlayStation came out, and it wasn't really until Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
It was one company making one game with one bad move by Nintendo is the only reason the way things are today. If it had happened differently, Nintendo would still have this tremendous monopoly over all console gaming, and we probably wouldn't have a Revolution or a DS.
Yeah, it's kind of like Nintendo got knocked down a bit, and now they're surging forward with full power.
Mm-hmm. That just shows that their position is like kings of gaming in the 80s and 90s wasn't unfounded.
Yeah. Well, plus, having that position back then, they had... I mean, they're still one of the most profitable corporations in the world in terms of profit or revenue versus expenditure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every game they sell... is a crazy hit, and they make a lot of money off of it. They don't need to worry about the third-party developers.
Yep.
And a lot of people say that's a bad thing, but frankly, I don't cry when Atari's latest pile of feces doesn't make it to the GameCube.
Mm. Look at the PlayStation. They've got like 20 million consoles out there, but when they have a big-selling game, it sells a million, a million.
But yet, when Soul Calibur 2 came out for all three systems...
GameCube sold the most. But that was because it had Link. But if you look, there are so many millions of GameCubes out there, but when a game comes out for the GameCube, like Wind Waker, they sell one copy for almost every GameCube.
Yep. You can't tell me there are many games that everyone who owns a PlayStation has.
I mean, you look at the biggest PlayStation games, probably GTA.
Yep.
I say maybe 10% of PlayStations have GTA. If there was GTA for the GameCube, 100% of GameCubes would have GTA.
Yeah, we'd probably have it. Buy in the discount bin or something, but we'd have it.
Yeah, I'm not really a big fan. You know, I played GTA 1, the original.
Yeah.
And then as soon as it made 3D, it just wasn't the same. It was a different kind of game.
I gotta say, I like the one set in Britain the most.
Yeah, that's definitely the best one.
That was what, 2?
That was the expansion pack to 1.
Ah. Though, that's the one thing. We've been playing a lot of old games lately.
Definitely got the emulator hooked up.
Yep,
on
we
the
also
PC,
got...
plugged into the TV.
Yep, and we got the old... We haven't got the Atari. We haven't hooked it up yet. We have
old
NES.
There's not so many games in the Atari we really
Kaboom.
Need. You like the Kaboom.
I like the Kaboom.
I'm not a fan of the Kaboom.
Combat?
So I like the combat, but
How about the Western game?
The Western game is Outlaw. Outlaw is a great game. I love Outlaw.
I'm going to have to hook the Atari up so we can play that.
Yeah, I'll totally outlaw you. I got to go get a freaking 2600 controller. I can't take the stupid 57.
But then you'll only have one button. You can't play the 7800 games.
Oh, Pole Position I can't play. Oh, no.
Pole Position was a crappy game.
Pole Position was actually a great game.
It was okay.
And you have Pole Position 2, I think, for the 7800.
I had two.
Pole Position 2 is actually a little better, but Pole Position in the arcade can't be beat.
Yeah.
Seriously, except maybe by Initial D.
Yeah, Initial D. What we've been playing, our thing this last couple days were old sports games.
Oh yeah.
Because while it is not an accurate representation of the sport for which it is named, ice hockey for the NES is probably my favorite sports game ever.
It's the best sports game ever. It's like a fact, and everyone knows it. We were waiting in line to see Miyamoto, who we didn't get to see, but some other guy was just like, ice hockey is the best freaking game. And everyone knows it. We're just waiting for ice hockey, too.
It's the only hockey game for a console where you physically feel pain from playing it. Yeah. My thumb, I don't know what happens, but 30 seconds into that game, my thumb is burning, and I can barely move my guys anymore.
Well, it's because they tried to simulate ice by making the guys, you know, swoosh around.
So the puck's in the middle, and you're swooshing in a circle, but you can't.
And you can't really control your guys, you know, the puck will be right near you, you control the goalie really precisely, but because you're doing that, you can't really control your guys to bring them in to defend,
yep.
And then it, you know.
Or the vaulted, you gotta hit B 5 times, then your defenseman will come to your aid.
Yeah, but then you're jamming the button a whole bunch all over the place, and stuff isn't happening the way you want.
Yep. And yet, despite all that, I managed to score, what, 11 goals on you?
I scored plenty of goals.
Yeah, like 4.
Yeah, I've beaten you at this game severely in the past.
I've also beaten you severely in the past.
I once beat my cousin 125 to, like, almost nothing.
Yeah, I can't top that.
Yeah. I don't know how I did it. I think we set it to the really long periods and the really fast play.
Yep.
And, yeah.
We also played Blades of Steel, which is still a good game.
Blades of Steel is actually a real hockey game.
We played to a dead standstill, and then
It was only dead standstill because I scored 2 goals on myself.
Yeah, Scott scored 2 goals on himself. I don't know how he did it.
It's because it's an old NES game, and we're using this crap Gravis gamepad, you know, it's what happens. I think I might buy the Xbox 360 controller that goes into the computer. They're going to be on sale this week, but I don't know how much money they'll be this week. I might wait.
Yeah.
They might be too expensive this week. But
I'm interested. I'll let you buy it first, see how well it works.
Well, I'm going to also wait to see what the Linux news on it is.
Yeah, because right now I got my Gravis gamepad, and it works, but it doesn't have a plus for the digital movement.
I don't think the Xbox 360 has a plus either, does it?
I think it
has 2 analogs.
It's got to have some sort of... I actually haven't looked at it.
Yeah.
If anything, I'll buy a Lixang device and plug an SNES controller into that, and then I'll be good to go.
I'd rather go with...
And I can plug my DualShock into another Lixang thing if I need analog.
Be cool as if I can get a GameCube controller in there. That would be cool. I haven't seen a device that does that yet, though.
Yeah, Lixang probably has something. We'll have to look. Yeah.
So, the other game we were playing was freaking Tecmo Bowl, which you had never played before.
No, and yet somehow I was whooping you.
Oh, it's Super Tecmo Bowl, but not a regular Tecmo Super Bowl for the NES.
Tecmo.
Which is one of the best football the best football game ever.
See, I never had it when I was little. Michigan, it was hockey time.
I didn't have it. My cousins had it.
No one I knew had it. We all had ice hockey.
We had ice hockey, but we also had the football game. And Super Tecmo Bowl, there are people to this day, I've heard this story multiple times, that there are football guys, the kind, you know, face painting, no shirt wearing, painting letters on themselves, going to football games, tailgating guys. And before they watch a game on TV, they play it in Tecmo Super Bowl for the NES. To this day, I've heard different people say that they do this independent of another.
So I gotta say,
at least 3 times.
No one plays track and field before the Olympics.
No one plays track and field before the Olympics.
You know, I had a power pad.
You know why? Because that would require someone to watch the Olympics, which no one does.
I had a power pad. Never had the game that used the other side of the power pad.
There was a game that actually used the other side?
Yeah, it was some aerobics game. It was like DDR of aerobics.
Was it really DDR?
No, it was like aerobics. There's a girl on a stage would like do dance moves, and you had to do the dance moves with her. And it was horrid.
I imagine. Yeah, no wonder no one had that game.
Yeah.
But I bet if we found it, it could be hilarious. Hey, if we plug our ignition pads in the computer, can we play track and field on them?
Probably. Just have to bind the keys.
Oh, cool. We should do it.
There aren't enough. Remember, there's 14 buttons on the power pad.
Step off the pad for a long jump.
The game knew, though, because if you just stepped off the pad and didn't get back on, it would kill you.
We had to get back on at the right time.
Yep.
Yeah, those are good days.
Good days.
Good days.
Dude, we got to play some Double Dribble still. We played a lot of...
Double Dribble's like impossible to control. It's like back in the day it was great, but now not so good.
Baseball games are still good.
Baseball games are great because it's just swinging, throwing, and base
Super
running.
Super Baseball Simulator is one of my favorite baseball games ever.
Baseball Simulator is great. We just need to set the right number of points for superpowers.
Because we set too few, and then the game's just a normal baseball game.
And we also have to get better controllers so we can have accurate base throwing.
I don't know how many
that
times
way we don't steal all the bases.
The game was determined by any time someone got on base, it would just be the next 5 minutes of him slowly stealing bases until he eventually got to home.
And the only reason he got to home was because you couldn't control where you threw the ball accurately enough.
Yep, I'm running to third, and you throw it to second. What the hell?
It goes to first. You know, oh, I throw to third, no one's there, it goes off to the side.
And then all my
The only people who can get the ball now are the outfielders, no one else can go get it. Usually bases loaded. Bases loaded actually is the real deal.
Yeah.
You can actually, it actually matters if you throw the ball high or low, not just left and right.
Yeah.
So, I remember playing Bases Loaded back in the day, it was definitely my favorite NES baseball game. Even though it didn't have the superpowers.
See, it wasn't until the Super Baseball Simulator for the Super Nintendo that I really got into baseball games.
I had Bases Loaded, and then I never got another baseball game.
I used to play entire seasons of Baseball Simulator in the game.
Wow. I never actually finished the season of Baseball Simulator. I just kind of... Or Bases Loaded. I just played against people all the time.
But in fact, I even went in, and I made my own teams from scratch.
If I remember correctly, I think Nintendo had like owned the Seattle Mariners. Maybe they still do, or they have a hand in them.
Huh.
And then I remember because Griffey was on the Mariners, and they made Ken Griffey Jr. Baseball for the SNES. And a lot of people say that that was one of the greatest baseball games there was ever. And huh. I should get the ROM for it because...
Yeah.
I never actually I played a demo in a KB Toys once. Oh, that's it. But, yeah, it's supposed to be like one of the great baseball games. I never played it.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever played it either.
Yeah, I'll try to find it.
Yeah. Because we've exhausted most of the two-player games that we still have a desire to play.
Yeah. Well, I think there are a few that we've left untouched, but maybe we want to keep them that way.
Yeah. Don't want to spoil those memories.
Yeah.
You don't want to remind yourself how terrible the game actually was.
I think we've got NBA Jam, which is Tournament Edition, which I had for the Sega Genesis, and I was the master of it for the Sega Genesis.
Plus, I'm going to start busting out with the old single-player games. I want to play DuckTales again.
What do I want to play? I want to try... I'm going to keep trying to play Secret of Mana, but I need someone to help me do that.
Once you find the girl,
hard.
I'll play the girl.
All right. And then I kind of want to play, you know, the Mario World, because... I could play Mario World all day.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try to beat every single level in every single world.
I'm not that good at Mario World anymore.
I'm really good
I
at Mario.
I lost all my skills.
I'm really good at Mario World still. You know, no one can really touch me. Yeah. I mean, I can't beat everything perfectly, but I can just beat it.
The forest was my second favorite place. Favorite place was obviously Star World.
Oh, no. The Vanilla Dome is where
Vanilla
the action
Dome,
is. Vanilla Dome and the Butter Bridge were the best places
I like the Butter Bridge,
the
but Vanilla Dome.
And, of course, all the Boo Houses.
Yeah, except for some of the ones in the end that you didn't want to go into.
No, those are great. Those are the best ones.
No, but trying to get the secret exit in those.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I loved all the Boo houses. Finding the secret exit was half the fun.
I think you have a Boo fetty.
Nothing wrong with a Boo fetty.
I mean, you sleep with a Boo plushie.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I think you've got a pillow fetty.
Yes, because I do indeed sleep on a pillow.
Yeah, fair.
And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for the opening music.
Thanks for listening. Please remember to point your favorite podcatcher at feeds.feedburner.com/geeknights to get the latest episodes as soon as they're released. Also, please visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com for the latest updates and forum discussions. And whether you love or hate our podcast, we won't know unless you send your feedback to us at geeknights@gmail.com.